Well, you need more of an intro than that. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? I started watching TV, at least that I remember, in around 1966, 67, 68. And for the first 6 months of watching TV, I used to watch I Love Lucy and Beverly Hillbillies reruns. And then one day, my mom said, look at this show. I started watching Mr. Rogers as soon as it was on. I also watched Sesame Street, and they came on around the same time, but Mr. Rogers was always the first show that I watched, the first experience that I had remembering anything with TV. And Mr. Rogers taught me incredible things. I learned from Mr. Rogers about the whole idea of being special. And, you know, 6 years ago, there was a paper issued by an economics professor at the University of Louisiana that said, you know, we can blame Mr. Rogers for all of the ills in society now with kids wanting to get better grades on tests and just asking for it rather than studying and thinking that they are special because they've been told that they are special and not earning this special. And he actually has clarified it but hasn't really backed off from it over the years, still a professor at University of Louisiana. But he does at least say, look, I'm not blaming Mr. Rogers for the ills of society. What I'm saying is that he told kids they were special, and they believed it, and they maybe didn't get the rest of the message. The rest of the message from Mr. Rogers isn't just that you are special. It's that everyone's important, and you need to treat other people as if they're important. And sometimes you're going to have problems. How many of you know Lady Elaine Fairchild? Come on. Lady Elaine Fairchild always had something nasty to say, right? And in the neighborhood of make-believe, they never got away with it. They always had to work that thing out. So I learned working out problems. I learned everyone's important. I learned that I was special. I learned that I could never go down the drain. Go figure. You can never. You know that song, You Can Never Go Down the Drain? It's one of my favorites, too, besides the neighborhood song. You don't have to play that one. No, because you don't know that one. I learned that you can feed fish just, you know, pretty much once a day, not 17 times a day. I learned about colors. I learned about trying new things. I learned about imagination from Mr. Rogers. Maybe I had it anyway. I also learned some things about Mr. Rogers. First of all, he didn't wear long sleeve shirts because he had tattoos all over and he wasn't a Marine. How many of you have heard that story? Yeah, it wasn't any of that. He was the man that you saw on TV, and he was a Presbyterian minister. And he was called to a ministry of working with kids. He's also the guy who, in the 1960s, saved PBS. Not exactly saved it, but testified before Congress about the need for public television. And when Mr. Rogers talks, it's better than Winnie F. Hutton talks. And I know I'm going back to the 80s and 70s now with that. But he said some incredible, incredible things. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood is, it's not synonymous with, but it is this place where you're welcome. It's this place where you're valued. It's this place where you get along with other people because it's important to do that. It's this place where you're not afraid to try new things. It's a place of kindness and gentleness and imagination and really cool sweaters that his mom made. This one came from the thrift store. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is foundational in my life. And this week, there's a challenge. There's a challenge to it because in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, everyone's welcome. And there's no need for somebody with a gun to go after somebody who looks a little bit suspicious and to maybe track them and to maybe get into a scuffle and to kill them. That's Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but you know, it's also God's neighborhood. There's an awful lot of either satisfaction or anger that I see in the news and in social media about Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. And I know what I feel about it. I know the anger level that I have at the verdict. And I know there's really no room for vindictiveness in God's neighborhood. I know that there's no room to stalk after somebody and to kill them. And there's no reason for there to be a trial and for someone to be found guilty or innocent in a place like that. My heart aches for Trayvon's family. And I want to say my heart aches for George's family, and I don't know if I can bring myself to say that because it's really, really bothering me. And what does it matter if it bothers me or not? It doesn't really in the whole scheme of things, but there's just such strong emotions about somebody being able to just do something and essentially getting away with it. And everyone is welcome in God's neighborhood. Jesus told a parable about a Samaritan, an outcast. The Samaritans weren't just, here's another person. I mean, the Samaritans were really the low of the lows. They had a history that was not quite Jewish and not quite Gentile, but it had both of them kind of mixed in there. And, they'd tell Samaritan jokes, and they would tell stories about how awful Samaritans were. You didn't even want to touch a Samaritan. They were untouchable. And three people who weren't untouchable were too busy to help a stranger, not only in need, but a stranger dying along the side of the road. And a Samaritan, the one who shouldn't have even thought of helping, went and helped. And not only helped, but helped nurse back to health this person and put them up for as many days as it would take so that they would be better. An outcast helped a person who, by all rights, should never have been helped by that outcast. Jesus is telling a story about how important it is to reach out, how important it is not to know who your neighbor is, but to serve your neighbor. Not with a neighborhood watch and a stand your ground, but with kindness and compassion. Does that mean that in life we don't need to be protected? No, not at all. You know, Mr. Rogers, in some of the videos, talked about divorce and talked about violence. One thing that he always liked to say was a story from his mother. He said, when terrible things happen, when there's tragedy, when there's violence, who do you look for? You look for the helpers. Because they'll always be there in the worst of times. There will be helpers. And in God's neighborhood, we're helpers, not harmers. Do we make mistakes? Sure. wouldn't it be nice if we just all took the attitude of being helpers? Ugh. I don't want to live in the neighborhood of make-believe, but I want to live in a world that reflects the things that Mr. Rogers taught and reflect the things that the Good Samaritan parable teaches, that everyone is important. Even the people you're uncomfortable with. Think of them right now. You are uncomfortable with some people either in this building, outside of this building, for whatever reason it is. We all have the baggage that we come with. It might be the clothes someone wears. It might be the color of their skin. It might be the way they talk. It might be the way they look for some reason. It might be their life choices. It might be their economic status. It might be their politics. It might be who they love. And in God's neighborhood, you just take all of that and you throw that out and say, I am so glad that you are part of this neighborhood. And that person says back to you, I am so glad that you are part of this neighborhood. I like to use the phrase God's neighborhood. It's synonymous with, for me, and I want to describe it, it's synonymous with the kingdom of God. Jesus talks about the kingdom is like this. And other people use other God's realm, try to get away from the kingly language. And other people go so far away from it, they say God's shalom, God's peaceful universe. And I just like God's neighborhood, and I'm very, very influenced by Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, because the neighborhood is this. Well, when I was in college, I took radio and television classes, and I took media communications classes, and we talked about a global village that has gotten smaller and larger at the same time. It's as if the neighborhood, by all stretches of the imagination, is more like what Jesus talked about when he said, who is my neighbor? And he talked about this person who shouldn't be your neighbor, and he was expanding it to essentially everyone is your neighbor. And now, it's not just the person down the block. Physically, we can feel it. Everyone is our neighbor. We can be in touch with just about anyone on the planet at any given time, allotting for sleep schedules and stuff like that. But social media, telephone, email, texting. I can text somebody in Australia and they will text me back, just like that, if they're awake. So the neighborhood that Jesus talked about has gotten to be this thing that we see clearly, because we are not just here. We are not just in this isolated spot with air conditioners going and keeping us cooler than we ever have been in this place. We are a global neighborhood, and it's important that we care for our global neighbors and that our global neighbors care for us. It's important that we care for people that we shouldn't be caring for, and it's important that people who shouldn't be caring for us care for us. It's important that we not stand our ground, but stand up in the face of injustice. Show up to live for peace, to live for forgiveness and reconciliation. Who is the one that was a neighbor to the person who was injured? It's the one who showed mercy. Jesus said, go and do likewise. So, my brothers and sisters, how do we live out the mercy that the Samaritan showed? How do we live out the justice, the compassion, and the kindness that the Samaritan showed? I think, first of all, I said it last week, we have to get over whatever sense of honor we have in ourselves. Not we have to get over pain and suffering, because we go through that and we have to live with it and we have to care for one another through it. But we have to get over our feelings of entitlement and our feelings of I want it my way and our feelings of I should be able to do that. Because in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and in God's neighborhood, there isn't any room for that. There is room for caring. There is room for healing the sick. There is room for putting aside all those things. Let's just call it putting aside theology and just being present with one another and saying, you are valuable. Who is our neighbor? All right, that's easy now. Everyone. How do we treat our neighbor? With love and kindness. How do we be a neighbor? Leave that question up to you. Amen.